Welcome back, Mindbully Podcast, a podcast focused on beating the hell out of your negative voice. I'm Noren Todiase. I'm the host of this podcast, focused on beating the hell out of your negative voice. Whenever you have a voice that silences you, that wants to keep you quiet and shell yourself, this is a podcast focused on beating that voice. But today, just jumping straight in without the whole, oh, subscribe, like, all that. Obviously do that, but today, jumping in, I'm so excited. Happy, elated, if you will, to showcase this story, to have this conversation, because I think the individual that's on this podcast, that's the guest, is someone that's driven, but has the advocacy for the athlete and honestly, just the human. Miss Anisa Barbosa, welcome to the Mindbully Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on here and talk to you guys about my story and just kind of share a little bit about my journey that people might not know. I think a lot of people kind of might know a little big pieces here and there, but there's definitely some things that, I don't always really talk about how I got here. So I'm excited to be here.
Jumping straight in, because I do think it's important to start in childhood, the formative years, because I believe as a stage setter for not only this conversation, but meeting anyone in life to understand the passion that you pursued with being a lawyer and just growing from, oh, I was in sports and then I went to law school. Like, not a lot of people do that to understand why you went down that lane. It's important to understand who you were. So if you were to take me back, I would say Uvalde. I would say El Paso. I would say Eagle Pass, but I'll say all of Texas. If you were to take me back to the little girl, who was that kid?
Younger Anisa, like you said it, I really always just say I'm from Texas. Because I grew up literally living all over. My dad was a prison warden for the state of Texas. So I moved about 10 different times throughout my childhood. And so, yeah, it's interesting because I grew up living on the prison themselves, which is super crazy for people to think about, but it's very similar to like living on a military base. And it was crazy because a lot of times, sadly enough, I grew up, you know, some deeper parts of East Texas. A lot of times, the only time I really saw someone who looked like me was on the weekends when families were coming to visit. And yeah, so it was interesting for me. And so growing up, I just kind of always thought like, most of the people that kind of look like me, they were coming to visit people in prison. And something my dad always told me that just stuck with me, that's like, those walls don't separate the good and bad in the world. They separate decisions and choices that we make in our lives. And so that was a big thing for me that kept me going and making sure like, you know what? I want to make good decisions, but I also want to make sure the people around me are not, you know, I didn't ever want to be in that position where the only time people were interacting like that, or I saw someone like that was, you know, through visitation. So I had an interesting upbringing, and it's crazy because even though my dad was a warden, you know, my uncle, he was locked up for like 10, 13 years. So I always had an interesting dynamic of seeing both sides of the coin and kind of seeing both sides of things. And I think that's where my early interest in, you know, justice, but then also hearing and knowing that there's always two stories to tell. That's kind of where that came from. And I definitely leaned on that a lot in law school. But sports came in mostly because since I was moving around a lot, I didn't really always have a lot of ways to connect with other people. And sports was that avenue for me. So everywhere we moved, my parents were like, all right, well, what are you guys going to do? And specifically for me, softball was that sport for me. So I played travel softball all across the state. It didn't really matter where I lived because I could just go meet my team in those cities and play. So yeah, that's kind of how those early years were. That's really all it was. It was living on the prison and playing softball.
Thank you for sharing that. You just gave me a wide range of who you were, what you did, why you did the things that you did, who you looked up to, why you saw a different way. Like that was, I could tell you're a lawyer, you're used to speaking, but when I go back and I kind of dig at that kid and I ask you this question, because in my mind, when you see, for lack of better words, order in your dad being a warden and kind of almost that military background, like you alluded to, I feel like it makes you grow up fast. And you being the oldest of four siblings, if you were to be behind that kid, behind the eyes of that kid, back in your skin, back traveling all over Texas, what do you think you missed out on?
Yeah, you know, I didn't grow up with the same kids. I didn't grow up and get to see them and find out where they were. But one thing I will say is that I have strong friendships from really core areas that I lived in that are still with me today. They're still rocking with me today. And I think what it taught me was that it allowed me to create deeper relationships with fewer people and to really understand what friendship meant and what support meant. And also finding that in my teammates. And so, being a teammate was a really important thing to me. And I leaned into sports in that way because, you know, I wasn't really having that in my hometown. I didn't grow up in one place, so I didn't really have those hometown friends. But I did have my teammates and I had my siblings. And so it allowed me to create deeper bonds, I think, with fewer people and to take that serious. You know, I didn't really throw the word friendship around easily, you know, because in a year and a half, I might not be around these people. So it was really just like it allowed me to lean into that and to trust my team. And, you know, I took those relationships seriously. And I like to think that when I was a college athlete, I like embodied that as a teammate as well. Like when I said I was your teammate, I really had your back. So that was something that I think I missed out on, you know, just growing up with the same kids or something. But I feel like it's okay.
Whenever you're in that time and you see the values of your family and your father and your parenting and kind of that structure, but then, like you said, you're building relationships, whether it's on the field with your siblings. I just am curious because for me and my story, I'm a Nigerian and my parents are immigrants from Nigeria. And I'm this American boy that's, in the school, I'm this. And back home, I'm this. And I'm struggling. I'm curious, just flowing in between the two voices, in between the two worlds, almost struggling to find my identity. So I go out. And I act on the wrong things. I do the wrong things at first because, that's cool. I see the evidence of, if you act up, if you act a fool, like that gets notoriety, credibility. But then that wasn't who I was. For your story, picking up the game, did you love it? Because for me, I don't think I loved the game of basketball. I love that the way it made people feel, the connection, it brought everybody together. I remember behind the eyes of my parents and my family watching Hakeem Olajuwon play. It was like joy. That's the only reason I picked up the game. I'm just asking on a whim, like, why did you pick up the game of softball and why did you lean into that for your career / post high school?
Yeah. I mean, I actually played basketball first. A lot of people don't know this, but I played basketball first. But I think it was softball that I started to really show some success, like athletically. I could go. And I remember I was 13 when I had this conversation with my dad. I'll never forget. My mom tells the story all the time. And my dad told me, like, you know, softball with four kids in the family, you know, he did a decent job, but there's still four kids and I'm the oldest. They're already trying to figure out, we know that we want them to go to college, but we don't know how we're going to pay for this. You know, I had really great grades and that was kind of one thing that I leaned on every time I went to a new school. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be an issue. I'm going to get good grades. I'm not going to drive my parents crazy. But softball was kind of more so seen as a tool really early on for me. And I remember my dad telling me like, are you going to commit to this? Because if you are, we're going to go all in. And the recruiting world in softball is really intense at the time. The NCAA rules were different. You were a prospective student athlete as early as seventh grade. So there were offers that kids were getting offers in eighth grade, ninth grade. And so it was like, I needed to make a decision. And I remember thinking like, I'm 13. Like, I don't know what if I want to do this in college. And I remember him telling me really early, like, well, you need to decide and you need to commit because we're going to spend a lot of money and we're going to put a lot of time into this. And, you know, there were times that my sister and I both played college softball, but, you know, I think always it was seen as a tool. Really early on, I remember having to reframe my mindset. This wasn't just something I was doing for fun. There was an end goal and the end goal wasn't just about me. It was about the rest of us being able to go to college and me needing to commit to like the family mission, not just like what I wanted to do, which so sometimes I felt like I didn't really have a choice. And there are times throughout my journey that I remember thinking like, is this really what I want to do? And I think later on in life, it manifests, especially when I made the decision to go to law school and then subsequently make the decision to leave college athletics and kind of go on my new journey of being a lawyer and not tied to sports. But yeah, I think it was early on. It wasn't something I was in love with, you know?
What were some of those times, though? You just alluded to after the fact, but when they said, okay, you got to decide, I'm like, what happened next? Like, it wasn't just like, yes, I'm going to do it. Okay, I got it. Like, what was the next day like?
I was going to try out for this team in Dallas. It was a select team, and I had some athleticism, a raw talent, I would say, and I really hadn't gotten formal training in the sport. And so my dad was like, look, if we're going to try out for this team, you're going to start taking lessons. So it really truly was like, in my mind, my athletic journey really began. You know, I learned how to be a good athlete, a smart athlete, and an all around athlete, but also a softball player, you know, and I was going to great camps and my parents were investing in me. So I understood that other people were looking at me and hoping that something better was going to come out of it. So I was learning what investment meant at a really early age. And I remember every day, twice a week, I was in seventh grade. My dad would pick me up from school. I lived at that time in a little town in East Texas. And so I was about 2 hours from Dallas. And we drive to Dallas for my batting lesson and then be there for an hour maybe, and then drive 2 hours home. And to be honest, this inspired my sister to later on. She has batting cages and she owns them here in town, because we were small town girls that didn't have the resources that we needed, but we had parents that invested in us. And we knew that that wasn't the case for a lot of people. So, you know, in all of our missions, and especially mine, you know, we look at giving back because we remember what it was to not have that.
I always say this. I believe that in adolescence, ages 8 to 18, we're really impressionable. And so we see these kids doing that, we do it. We see these people doing that, we do it. And we don't really know who we are. When it comes to your story, when you're searching within, you're searching yourself for evidence of, okay, my dad, my people say I got to pick up the game of softball, go to college and run with it. I can do that. What did you think that you could do outside of what anybody else can say that you could do, if it makes sense? Let me retrace. Your I can beliefs and I am beliefs. Okay, because I can do this, I am this. I always frame it different ways, but the I am statement, in that time, who did you think that you were and what did you think that you could do because of who you were?
I think that at that time, I told myself that I was a good sister. And because I was the oldest, that meant that I had to do this first and I had to get there, because I never saw softball as the rest of my life. Like, it's just different. Like, I did love to play the game, thank God, because I did it so long. But I saw it more as like, I'm sacrificing for them now because later I'm going to want to do all these other things. Like, I was really into reading. I was really into history. And so there was just so many things and places and just things I wanted to accomplish in my life. And I knew that I was going to do that later on in life. And so it was okay for me to just focus on softball right then and there. There were times where moving around a lot was interesting, because I got to find a little piece of myself. Every time I went to a new place, you have to readjust to your environment. And so I had to see, okay, how am I in this environment? And I wasn't just moving like up the block. Like, I went from East Texas all the way to Beeville in South Texas. And then I moved to El Paso, Texas. Like, I was just bouncing from area of the state to the other areas. And then every weekend I was playing in Dallas and in Houston. So those are totally different areas and different types of people I was meeting there. But I think my dad exposing us to those types of things taught us to navigate and adjust to different types of people really early on. So I've had friends that are so different from each other. Like, that's it's such a blessing to have so many different types of friends. And I was building a network, not even knowing I was building a network, you know?
Man, if that was me, I'm like almost feeling isolated. I feel by myself. I almost would feel, dang, am I faking? Am I lying on who I keep telling these people I am? Because this week I'm over here and maybe 2 years from now I'm here and here. You get to recreate who you are and teach people who you are and network. I believe a lot of athletes, we know how to do that to the best of our ability. But I don't know, was there some feelings of losing yourself?
Yeah.
In any of that?
Yeah, I had, and to me, what I realized now, what it was, is that I lacked, I didn't really have stability. Like, I had a good family unit, you know, I had this, but in terms of my environment, I was never really stable. It's crazy, being in college was the longest I ever lived anywhere. And so I learned a lot about myself in college because I was able to keep a consistent environment long enough to meet for me to adjust and learn and grow in that space to be like, okay, this is kind of who I am. I'm starting to understand that. But yeah, I felt isolation is a good word to describe it. Definitely felt isolated. I leaned on my family unit, that my family is very important to me because that was the only thing I always had. And so I didn't always have a house, but home was always where my family was. So I was very close to them. There's four of us. So that's enough, 2 boys, 2 girls, and then my mom and dad. But yeah, I didn't have the foundation that I have now, having moved back home and been here long enough and been able to retie to my original roots where I was born and where my mom and dad come from, and to get to know really that side of me, especially as a Latina, and to understand what maybe where I'm at with my life now, what that means to just not myself and my family, but now to the people that watched me grow up, and I just didn't grow up here, you know, so they know my story. But I always say, like, moving back home was, I came back to a place that was always a piece of me, but I never really knew. Like, and so I've been able to kind of lean into that space right now and learn more about my foundation and build that for me. And I feel like it's helped me in finding my direction, because I didn't have that growing up. You know, it was all over the place.
Yeah. Fast forward and you find your direction to OPSU, and you're there and you're playing softball. And it's crazy because I can see that in your story. It's like you're discovering yourself through the different organizations, mm-hmm. whether it's your student organizations that you were in there, figuring out your culture, Latinx, and your advocacy, the idea to give back, think about other people, challenge yourself in knowing the things that actually matter in this life. You mentioned not seeing yourself as a softball player all your life. When you think about your college days and you really have time to search yourself and to figure out who you are, why was it so important to reach down into your roots and go back to Uvalde, learn about your culture? Why was that so important in that time?
We had a real bad tragedy happen here. And I think that I'm religious, and I felt like God was pulling me home for a lot of other things that were about to happen in my life, and I had no clue. But I realized at the time I was working at UC Berkeley. I was working in admissions for the athletic department. And so I was helping these kids from all over the world get into one of the best public schools in the country, right? And when the school shooting happened in my town, it changed my perspective on a lot. Suddenly, I felt extremely far from home. Not only are my parents teachers and my sister's a teacher, so it was a very scary moment for me, just being so far from them. Space and distance is a relative thing, and something like that kind of puts it into perspective. I felt like I was helping all these kids from all over the world who deserve those opportunities to get into that school. But I just didn't feel like there were enough resources and enough people looking at my hometown. And I felt a certain sense of responsibility. And I didn't know why, because I didn't grow up here the whole time, you know, but that's where my mom and dad were, and they were dealing with this. And I just felt like I owed it, you know, to the kids that were born in the same hospital that I was, were growing up in a town that, you know, my dad grew up in. I just felt like I had a sense of responsibility to come home. And I didn't know what I was going to do at the time, but I felt like that sense of responsibility. And maybe it's a cultural thing. You know, we're very family oriented as Latinas, especially as Mexican Americans. Like, we're kind of just always got to help each other out. And that was something that was really pivotal growing up, you know, me sacrificing maybe what I wanted to do so that my sister and my brothers had additional opportunities to go to college. Like, I just felt like I needed to come back home and help. Like, and the only way I knew how to do that was like actual boots on the ground. Like, I just needed to come home and do the work and see where I could fit in to help people out. Cause, you know, I don't know. It was like a little bit of guilt that I felt, that I was in California and I was had great opportunities, and I had the opportunity to go to law school. And then this very big tragedy happens where all of these kids' lives were taken way too soon. And they didn't even have the chance to go do that, but there were still kids in this town, you know? And so I felt a big sense of responsibility, and it was a big deal. But, you know, in coming home.
Do you still feel that? Do you still feel that guilt?
I don't feel the guilt anymore, but I do feel like I was meant to come home. Like, I do feel like that, because there was so much of me that I didn't realize I was missing. And I felt it. You know, my mom always did a good job at teaching us our culture and not letting us forget that no matter where we lived in Texas, because nobody puts a high max security prison in a city. So I never grew up in a Dallas or like a Plano or a Houston or, I grew up in little bitty towns in rural Texas. And so it was hard to kind of adjust. But yeah, you know, my mom did a good job at teaching us that. I just, when I came home, I learned about my culture more and my food and the things that I loved. And then I also realized that I meant me being a Latina lawyer, there's only like 2% of us in the country are Latina lawyers, right? And that's, I felt that when I was in law school, I navigated through that internally. But I found the confidence that I needed to keep moving forward when I moved home, because it wasn't just about me doing this for me anymore and me proving that to other people. It became suddenly I represented a little bit more out there. And there were people who needed me to go and do the best that I could because we didn't always have those spaces for us. So yeah, I found confidence when I came home.
Honestly, thank you so much for sharing that. You just showcased who you are and your heart for not only your city, your town, but for people in general. You go from a place of playing softball at OPSU, and we fast forward to your time at Cal Berkeley. But before that, I mean, you're somebody that got a double major from my university, Texas Tech. And that transition, it's one that's challenging to understand from my point of view, because I'm an athlete. I was a student athlete. And as a student athlete, you have a lot going on. And for you to switch and say, okay, this thing that I came to college for, this game, I'm going to drop that and not just drop it. I'm going to drop it and actually do probably arguably something harder, challenging, double major, go to another school in Texas Tech. What made you decide to go down that route, knowing that you faced a lot of challenges before? That's another challenge, another obstacle in your way. When you get to college, a lot of players, a lot of people in general, they choose the road travel, not less travel, travel, just doing what everybody else does because, okay, I can be myself. For you, why did you go down the challenging route again?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because originally I was like a health and physical education major, right? When I first went to school, I wanted to do marketing. Ironically, I wanted to do sports marketing. I didn't really have the best guidance at my school. And so they kind of were like, oh, well, you want sports? Then that we're going to put you in health and physical education, which was not what I wanted to do at all. I didn't understand that. I was 18. I was just trusting the people that I, you know, were at my school. But I was sitting in one of my classes my sophomore year. So I was finishing up my basics and I was starting my major courses. And I was like, this is not what I imagined college to be like in general. I didn't want to continue down with that major. And so I literally left class, called my dad, didn't get a hold of him, left him a voicemail. I said, Dad, I am heading to the admissions office. It's like November. Like it's like almost the end of the semester. I was like, I'm going to admissions. I'm changing my major. And I think I want to try to go to law school. Like I felt like I wanted more out of my educational experience. And he's like, and then I just got there and then they were like, okay, you want to change your major? What are you going to do? And I hadn't even thought that far. You know, I was making quick decisions and some people would look at that like, oh, you were being really reckless. But I was committing to something before I had time to talk myself out of it is what I was doing. Because I knew if I thought long enough, I would get nervous. That mind bully would come in and it would tell me like, oh, like you think you can go to law school? Like you don't even know anybody that went to law school. And I sure as heck didn't know anybody that looked like me that went to law school. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit. And so I chose the thing that I was best at when I was in high school, which was history. I've always been a fan of the arts. And so that was something I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a history major. We're just going to go for it. And then I'm going to try to go to law school. So I decided early that I wanted to. But when the time came to actually go for that process, I was a senior. I was finishing up my junior year. But what also happened that year is I tore my ACL. So now I'm kind of in this spot where I have about 9 months before my senior season starts. I have to get surgery. I had already said I wanted to go to law school. I was finishing up, you know, my last year. My dad, he kind of looked at me. He said, well, you know, I played Division II softball. So my dad was like, let's just set our sights on what's going to happen after school. You know, you had a good 3 years. And he was kind of just like, you already got to start thinking about what you're going to do after. Like, why not? This might be that door for you. And I was like, absolutely not. Like I'm finishing all 4 years, even if I'm barely there. So I was rehabbing while I was studying for the LSAT. And I mean, as an athlete, I think sometimes we have those strict schedules that we kind of just lock in, you know, like having a lot on my plate, I do well with it because I'm have the pressure to need to have stick to, I need to be disciplined. So, you know, I was rehabbing, I was studying for my LSAT, I was going to classes. I worked as a student athlete. So I think when it came time to actually, you know, apply and look at the schools that I was going to look at and go to law school, I had just overcome a major injury. You know, I had moved into the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. And so the idea of going to law school was something like, we're just going to go for it and we're going to see what happens. And I knew that if I didn't try, I would hate that way more than if I tried and I failed. Like, and it's crazy that I had that mentality then, because when I started law school and I was going through that journey, it wasn't as seamless as I thought it was going to be. You know, I think I thought I was okay. I was a D2 athlete. I did other things on campus. So I thought when I lost my sport and I was done with the sport, I was going to be good because I had all this other stuff already lined up, but I wasn't good. And I realized that, you know, I was a very composed person. I thought I was good at softball because I was a composed person and I had the ability to control my emotions and just, you know, that, but it turns out because I played softball, that's why I was able to control those. So when I didn't have softball anymore, I had to navigate who I was without this game. And that was a shocker to me. I didn't expect to have such a personal adjustment to that, but I did. And I struggled. My first year of law school was hard for me. Mentally, it was really hard.
I have so many questions from everything you just said. And it's really what you exude. It's like the confidence with the passion, with the drive. And I have so many questions, but I want to go somewhere and I don't want to forget what you just said, because I do want to ask about that journey. And it's tough with that transition. You lose yourself. You place your identity in a sport, basically, and not knowing that you learn all the right traits from this sport, but that's not who you are. You're a person that I like softball, but that's not who I am. And that's kind of tough. But to go back, the way that you speak and the way that you're coming off and you're telling me your story, it gives me a question in my head. It's like, do you think that you can teach this to someone, like that drive, that, because I always have this question in my head, is it like nature or nurture? Like, is it innate or it's the environment, the community, everything that you are, I'm like, can you teach that? Or is it just the ilk, how she's cut, like just to think that way? Like, sometimes I ask myself, am I being driven? Am I driven or am I being dragged by something? Is there something dragging me across that has me like, I gotta go. I got a torn ACL. I still gotta push. I still gotta drive. That thing that you said about athlete to lock in, not every athlete. I've been around a lot of athletes. Not every athlete has that. So like, what do you think it is in you, that trait that you have? Or I don't know. I just would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I think for me, it's, don't get me wrong, there have been times that I have felt like I was getting dragged. There have been a lot of times like where I was like, hold on. I'm like, that's not really okay. We just have to do this. Okay, I'll go with this. Like, but I think that for me, you know what I really think, and it's a little sad. I think I lost a lot of friends really early in life. Like I had friends that I went to school with that died, you know, a car wreck or some things happened. And I remember being so impacted by it. And I remember thinking like, we could literally die tomorrow. Like, and it's so cliche, but I literally would see my friend from one day and then the next day they were gone. And I remember thinking early on in my life, like, I never want to live a life of regret. And I want to do everything I set out to do. And I feel that so deeply inside. And I think that it made me think about the future a lot. And so I started thinking about, okay, what vision do I have for my life? And I might, to other people, I really might seem delusional. When I told a lot of my mentors and I told even my parents, like, you know, I'm gonna do a dual degree at Texas Tech. They knew how hard I had struggled my first year. And they were like, wait, you just got done telling us how hard your first year of law school was, and now you're going to do another degree on top of that. And I was like, yeah, I think that I need to. And I think it's because I saw, I have a really strong vision inside. And I think it was, I hold on to that vision and I commit to it because I feel like a lot of people live lives going through the motions, and I just never wanted to live life like that. Like, to me, it's like, you know that feeling you get like you're on a roller coaster and you're like literally going at the top of the roller coaster and you're about to have that major drop where you get like so super excited, or like that feeling, right? Like, or for me in my sport, it's like when the pressure's on and everyone's looking at me and I have to be the one to step up, like that emotional feeling that I chase. And I just chase that feeling. Like, I feel like I live my life just trying to feel that, like just trying to go and say, oh my gosh, I'm doing something that's a little scary and it's a little risky, but it makes me really feel alive and it makes me feel like I'm going all in life. And that's, I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. I don't know. I think it can be taught. I think people just, you have to just bring your attention to that. You know, it's really about intention. I want to live a life of intention. I don't want to feel like I'm going through the motions and then look back in like 30 years and be like, oh dang, you know, I just kind of let life take me. I didn't take control. And I won't lie, my first year of law school, I felt like life was taking me. And it's because I didn't have a direction and I was dealing with losing my sport, not expecting to be so impacted by it. I felt isolated. I was also 23. Like, I think sometimes as athletes, we feel like we're so behind in life. Like, by the time we start ours, we feel like, oh my God, I don't have any job experience. Or like, you know, and someone told me that one time. I want to say I used to work with the Texas Tech football team. And I remember it was PJ Vasher. He told me, he said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Like, I don't have any work experience. I was like, but you were a student athlete, you know? And so you just got to learn how to leverage those things. And I was trying to do that. I was trying to navigate that. But yeah, I felt dragged in life sometimes.
I see a lot of myself in your story because you're ambitious, you're driven, you're passionate. And that's what I'd like to say that I am. And it gets to a point, me in my life now, I'm doing so many things with a podcast. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to showcase stories. But when I have a vision in my head, like you talked about, a vision that you're trying to chase and you're going, and you mentioned chasing a feeling, when the vision in your head is not what your now looks like, how does that make you feel? You mentioned chasing a feeling. What if you're not at that sight that you see in your head when you're in the mundane, if you will? What keeps you going? Like, how do you practically move on to the next step? I jump around. I ask a question and I ask another question. I ask another question. I'm ADD, but like, I say this all the time. And with your story, it's like, it's unrealistic until it's realistic. It's literally unrealistic until it's realistic. Everything that you wanted to do in your life. Oh, she can't do this. Until you make it real. When you're in the process of making things real and you're in the middle, the tough times, how do you work past that?
You keep walking through the doors. Like, you walk. One, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to open your mind to what opportunities are in front of you, right? Like, I think my first year of law school, if I looked at who I was and how I felt mentally, I was so negative internally. My mind bully was telling me negative things about myself, but it was also starting to change my perspective about how I viewed other people. And I hated it. Like, I was trying to justify why I felt like I was struggling. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course I didn't know, you know, I didn't know anybody. Like, I was trying to justify me feeling lost in some way because it had been so long since I felt that. And I started looking at other people like, oh, they don't have it as hard as me. Or that my mind bully was literally telling me, oh, those people don't have it as bad as you. Like, they got it all figured out. Like, and I started to grow resentful. And I felt like I hit rock bottom. And I was like, I am not this person. Like, I don't know what other people are going through. All I know is what I'm going through. And I'm struggling right now. And I need to get out of it. And the only way that I knew was to accept that I'm not always going to be perfect. And as athletes, we are so critical of ourselves. And this was the first time in my life I had to sit and say, you know what? I am not perfect. I am not going to be in this winning era my entire life. And at the time, I felt like I was failing. But what was really happening is that I was growing and I was realigning. And I had to learn who I was and what I liked and what my interests were. And the only way that I knew how to do that was to continue walking forward and go through the doors that were in front of me. And for me, sports was still opening those doors. So my dual degree, it was a comfort zone for me. I was getting my master's in sports management. sports was something I knew, right? Like, I was an athlete. I knew this. I knew how to talk about sports. I know how to be in that arena, you know? And I was getting to gain my confidence in that area. So I'd go to the law school and maybe not feel the best. And then I'd go over to the grad program and I would say, you know what? Okay, yeah, let's talk about basketball. Let's talk about sports. Like, let's talk about how the Tech basketball team did this weekend, you know? And that was something that gained my confidence. And so for me, I just continued to walk through the doors and just trust that, you know what, that door is going to lead me to something that makes me feel more aligned in my life. And that's how I kind of navigated that time. Cause I remember feeling so lost, and I know other athletes feel this too. Like, I've had this conversation with so many athletes when they're transitioning, like, it's hard and you don't know what to do. You let other people tell you what you should be doing when really you just got to take your time. Like, I think we feel like we have to rush that process, but it takes time. It takes time to realign. You spend your whole life playing a sport. Like, for me, like 15 years, like, how could I expect in 1 year to just know, oh, this is exactly who I'm going to be in the next 5 years?
Man, I'm seldom stumped because, man, everything you said is so powerful. And it's like, as an athlete, you're so used to invoking your will and pushing. Like, nah, you can't work harder for this. Sometimes you just got to chill. Sometimes you got to go through the mundane times to figure it out. Sometimes you have to have those moments of introspection. Like, okay, what do I want to do with my life? Like, who am I here to serve? What am I here to do? Like, and pull it out of you. And just seeing how you've been able to do that. You're a student athlete, dual major. Then from Tech, you went to Cal. Before Cal, you had an internship. You've done all these things so quickly. You look back on your life, you're like, whoa, like, you've done a lot. Now you're back home in Uvalde. When you think on your journey and the steps that you've been able to climb and where you've gone, what do you wish you would have done? Because you've done a lot, but what did you... Or if you were to say, okay, in hindsight, I wish I would have done this instead of this.
I wish I would have just taken my time a little bit more. Not into taking my time like, oh, I didn't take my time before I went to law school. No, I think I would have still committed to doing those things. I just wish I would have had more grace with myself through that process. Like that, because I was just so critical. Like, I was so hard on myself. Like, I felt like I was failing. I felt like I was behind. And really, I wish I would have soaked it in a little bit more, just a little bit more. My friends would probably say, Anissa, well, you soaked it in. But look, no, I think I wish I would have, I soaked it in a little bit more. I just think it's so serious because.
You being so self-critical, what does that look like?
I feel like I didn't trust myself. Like, I felt like I didn't have what I needed in me to get through it and be good at it. Like, I didn't think, I'll tell you how it was. When I got done with law school, I was so afraid of rejection because I felt like my personal self-esteem barely made it. And I just couldn't have someone else tell me, you know what? No, we don't want to give you this job. So afraid of rejection that I didn't apply to the jobs that I felt like I should have applied to. Because I was so afraid to not get it. I was so afraid to not get it. And other people would look and be like, you have this story or you've done these things. Like, why do you not have that confidence? I didn't have it. Like, I did not have it. And so I stuck with the things that made me feel comfortable. I stuck with college athletics as much as I could. I allowed myself to gain that confidence before I started putting myself out there again. And I feel like I just didn't have the confidence in myself because I was comparing myself to other people in those circumstances when the entire time my journey was always non-traditional, like my whole upbringing, like you got to hear a little bit about that. Like, I didn't have a normal childhood. Why would I expect my professional life to be any different? And that just wasn't who I was. And it was hard because even people that knew me were like, I don't know how to help you because you're not like me. You know, you're a dual degree student. You took a year off to go work at the NCAA. Like, you don't have a typical traditional law school experience. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, did I make a mistake? Like, did I make a mistake committing to a dual degree and going to the NCAA for a year and then not really being able to tell me how that was? And I really had to just find faith somehow in myself and just be like, I know that I invested in this. It's going to work out. I just got to get there. And it wasn't, moving home took me off this like fast paced life long enough for me to realize like the world is always moving around. It's always going to be moving. If things and opportunities are always going to be flying left and right. Like sometimes you just need to take a seat back and you need to just take your time with your process. You know, like you just need to take your time figuring out what you want. And I promise you those opportunities, when you're more sure about it and you have more of a self-alignment, the doors are going to be a lot clearer to you of what you want to do and where you want to go. But
man, I swear you just helped me a lot. I'm not kidding, because I'm in this space in my life. Everything that you just said, like you want to go, you want to go, you want to go, you want to do these things. And the athlete in us is like, okay, after the game, I come to the press conference. I look at the little white sheet. I had 15 and 15, but my opponent had 20 and 20. I'm comparing myself. It's already innate. Like, oh, so I'm like, damn, no matter what people on the outside, it's like, oh, he was killing. And me, it's like, nah, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. So you start comparing yourself to others' journeys. Like you said, that was so powerful and it just helped me. Your journey was not like everybody else's to start with. And I always say, God made you a one of one. He made you a one of one. So why do you think anything's different? A lot of us, we lose sight on that so much. And I'm so glad that you kind of shined a light on that, because that is so powerful. It's like when you even build your courage and you build your confidence, like you said, you struggle through that. But despite the struggle through the confidence and kind of the fear, if you will, of, okay, will I get a job? You still push forward and it worked out for you. I don't know. I think it's something to be said about that drive. And I know I said it before, but the will to do more and to give more and to, like I said, not even compare, because as an athlete, it's like breaking that comparison away, because all our life we've compared. We're trying to get better, the stats. And the only bar that you have is wins in comparison to the next man. Are you the shining light of your team, of the conference? That's what you look at. For you to strip that away and to take yourself through a process of pruning, if you will, like breaking that. And now you're serving and giving back and being an advocate for not only people that look like you, culture, but athletes in general. That's so powerful. I commend you on that, because it's a challenge. And you almost, for me, I don't know, I'm in a stage of my life where I love the game of basketball. I know I can do X, Y, and Z in the game of basketball, but this other part of me is like, I always say, God gave us a lot of traits. I'm not, like I said, you're not the softball player. You're not the lawyer. You have all these interests. You like history. You want to be an art curator. Like, you have all these things that you want to do in your life. It's so challenging in this moment in my life. I'm in a friction of knowing, okay, Norrence, you're Norrence, period. And there's a lot of people listening that you're you. You can do all these things, but those things don't make you who you are. So you saying that was everything. When I think of your life and when I'm asking you this question, as I will, if you had a billboard and you can tell whether it's a message, whether you can draw a picture, whether it's an image that you place on there, that you could teach the world, that you can tell the world about this one thing that's on this billboard, what would be on that billboard for you?
That's a good one.
Because you mentioned alignment a lot. And for me, that's like value, staying true to your values. It's like living out the things that you say that you value.
Yeah, I think for me, I would say like your direction and your self-alignment is just way more important than your speed. Like, because when we're living an aligned life, like, and when I say aligned, I mean that when you're thinking about who you are as a person and then the actions you go out and you do every single day, do you think those actions are marrying what you believe and what you feel is important in your life? Like, and that's the biggest thing that I've had to find. I've been searching for that in the past 5 years. Like, I've had a lot of great opportunities, and when you pile them all in together like that, it sounds so great and seamless and like, wow, you're just doing it. But it was a journey. It was an emotional journey. It took a lot of decisions and choices and time to figure out, like, is this the best thing for me? And maybe I'm not 100% sure. There were a lot of times I wasn't 100% sure moving forward. And I had to be comfortable in that space, right? Like, sometimes we put our, as athletes, we're okay being in a high pressure situation. But you have to, that never ends. Like, I think when you just got to learn how to pivot in your life, and you have to recognize that they're going to continue to be spaces in your life where you feel uncomfortable and you're not going to be 100% confident, but you just got to go for it. And you just got to say, you know what, I feel the most comfortable making this decision right now, so I'm just going to keep going. And I think when I finally took the time to sit down and think about who I was as a person, like, what do I value? What are my passions? What is my mission? Just in general, like, I'm not just a lawyer, like you said, or the softball player. Like, I wasn't just those things. I was a person who cared about her community. I was a person who feels like the law can help and hurt a lot of people. And so it's important to take that process seriously and to be able to, like, nurture that area. And I felt like sports was an avenue. I didn't have anything I had in my life without the game of softball, because it allowed me to be able to afford law school, and it allowed me to continue my journey in my educational journey. And so I felt like if I was doing something in each of those lanes, I was in my mission. I felt good about what I was doing. And so I knew that I might not stay in one lane forever, but if I, you know, pivot and go here and go there, I'm going to live a fulfilled life. And it took a long time to sit and do that. And it felt like once I understood that about myself, I was starting to make more intentional decisions moving forward. I wasn't just saying, like, this looks like a good job, let me just go for that, and then kind of not trust that situation. I said, does this match who I am? Is this my brand? Does this align with things that I care about? And if it did, then we go for it and we keep going and we see what works out. But it was a journey to get there. It definitely was. And so I think my billboard would say something like that. Like, you know, that self-alignment is just so much more important. So take your time with that process. Like, you do not have to speed through it because you think you got to be somewhere because you saw something on Instagram or you saw something else. You know, like, I think those things, they can be, you know, they're tools. I love social media. It's such a tool for me to connect, especially me. I've moved around and I've been across the country and stuff, but sometimes it's hard. It's hard not to compare yourself and say, like, oh, you know what? Like, they're doing their thing, but people don't see the work that happens in the background and, like, taking your time to get there and figuring that out. And, you know, so.
Taking your time, figuring it out. If you fast forward in your life, and I say forward, but I should say adelante. If you're moving forward, and as I just mentioned, adelante, you made a blog. And when I think of the steps of, oh, if I had an idea, oh, I got to make a blog. It's one, to teach people who I am outside of what I do. And it's a form of self-expression. Why was it so important for you to do that? Because if I was you, I always like to think, if I'm this person, okay, I switch from this to another career and I strive, and let's say I'm doing great, I get this job, but I don't look like the people that are in this job, in this position that I'm working with. And it almost makes me feel like a shell of myself. I've been in a situation in my life where I was in a shell of myself. I was in Germany and all of them looked different than me. They sounded different than me. The coach was crazy on me and it had me shrink. When you start something like a blog to express what you're going through, to share, to uplift others, walk me through the steps to do that. Like, why was that so important?
Everyone is entitled to pushing the culture in their own way. Like, I think that there's not one way to do that. You mentioned adelante, and I chose adelante because part of what my mission is to help people. Adelante means to progress. And so for me, everything that I'm doing is with the hope that I can do that for myself, for my family, and for my community. And I chose to do it in that way because I feel like visibility is such an important thing, especially when you're trying to increase numbers, like, not just for Latinos to become lawyers, but just to be educated. Felt like growing up, the one thing I didn't have was I didn't have somebody who looked like me that had gone through this journey. And I have had, and I will say this, I have had many Black women in my life be amazing mentors to me. They have been there for me through so many things. They have made sure that they opened doors for me. And I just remember thinking, like, I always want to give that back. I want to do that. They did that for me. They didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to, but they looked at me and they knew that I didn't have the role models, or I didn't have the mentors in those spaces. And so they were those things for me, and just they have always done good things for me. So I wanted to do that, and I wanted to do it in a really intentional way. And I remember when I first started working at the high school, when I moved back here, I had these three freshman girls who were off. They're all from Mexico. They're the first in their family to come to school in the United States. And they came to eat lunch with me. You know, I'm a younger program coordinator. So they're like, oh, we want to come hang out with you. And I'm like, all right, come on. And I happened to bring my degrees there. Visibility is important to me, which is the biggest reason why I did this. But when they left, one of them turned around and she said, Miss, thank you for telling us about your law school story. And I was like, oh, you're welcome, America. Like, you're welcome. And she's like, because I didn't think that lawyers looked like us. And that was so powerful for me. Like, here I was moving across the country and going and looking for all this validation and the people in my industry. I was looking for them and to say, hey, look at me, take me serious. And it wasn't until this little girl said this to me that I was like, that is important. Like, that really is the most impactful thing, because those are the things that change mindsets, you know, and they make people think that, oh, I can, because this person looks like me and maybe I can do it too. So I think that was the biggest motivation for me, is that, you know, it's important to be visible, and we all push the culture in different ways. But for me, I do that through visibility and sharing my journey and being open about it. You know, it's not easy to admit that this wasn't easy for me to get to this point, but I think it's important, and authentically to do that. I don't want to sit there and tell girls, oh, you can do this, it's going to be easy. It's totally attainable. But for me, it was important to share this, but to be real with them and say, no, it might not be easy. And there were times my family didn't understand what I needed to do to get to the end goal. And so I never want to share that journey without being completely authentic, because that's a big piece of it, to be able to get to the end.
Be able to get to the end. A random question. Are you, because I think I am, are you a people pleaser?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. I'm not a people pleaser. Like, I'm okay with people not being like completely out of me. I just never really want to disappoint the people that matter to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to disappoint the people that matter to
me. I'm saying that because that's how I am. Like, obviously you're a leader, you strive, and you're like, I don't care what y'all say. My vision, but as you're serving people, you want to see like, oh, it's working. When you mention, oh, she said that, like, I don't believe that lawyers look like us, I didn't know that, you're like, oh, I'm doing something that's worth it. That's dope. Like, all this stuff, all this struggle, it's for a reason. What if you didn't have that? What if you didn't get that? Like, do you give yourself that same love? Like, what are you like without that?
Yeah, I think I do give myself that same. I do give myself my flowers, if that's what you're like, no, that's what you're getting. I do, because I think that it might not matter. And this is something I realized, like, especially watching my mom as a teacher, you know, she's a big inspiration to me, because sometimes you're impacting people and it's not something they realize. They might not realize this till they're at the end of their life and they're sitting on their porch or they're talking to their kid and they're thinking like, you know what? That one teacher or that one coach or that one teammate, that they were really on me all the time and they never let me give up. And so I think that I don't think I need that immediate validation. You know, that's not something I'm searching for, but I just hope that I have been inspired by people who have come before me. You know, we always say we walk on the shoulders of giants. Like, so I've been inspired by the people that have forged this path before me. And I just hope that I can do that for someone else one day too. Like, that's it. Cause I mean, at the end of the day, we all have to leave this world. And I think that, you know, you hope that you have a legacy and you have a story that is going to help keep that pushing forward, which is why, you know, I chose Adelante for my blog, for my brand. So you say, because, you know, progress isn't success in my mind. We just keep going an inch a little bit at a time. And hopefully one day it's just going to be a better future for, you know, for my people, for everyone around us and the communities in general. So I don't think I can change the world, but I think I can, you know, push it a little bit forward, hopefully, through the work that I do.
That's the first time I will disagree. You have already changed your world. You can change the world. And when you pan out and you think of moving forward, progressing, Adelante, whether it's the blog, whether it's becoming a resource for NIL and student athletes, for your dream to be fulfilled, that vision, to reach that vision in terms of Adelante, your brand, What has to happen?
I got to get people to buy in. I think there's a lot of people out there that want to do similar things. And sometimes we just need a little bit of guidance to get there. But I think that if I can get people to buy into the fact that like education is important for us to keep going, if I can get people to buy in that sports is an avenue for your kids to go accomplish what they need to accomplish, like that to me is success. If you're changing, you know, you educate a kid, you really educate a whole family, you know. And my parents were the first in their family to go to college, what they call first generation. And I truly think that my dad and my mom, the sacrifices they made, because they were teen parents with me, you know, the fact that they went and they committed and they made those sacrifices, it opened the doors for me to be able to keep going. So I think that for me, it's just about buy-in. It's about meeting people where they're at. You know, I might have a vision all day long, but if I don't know how to meet the people where they're at, I'm virtually useless, because I'm just kind of forging by myself. Like I can't really push my own mission if I'm over here by myself and I don't really care where everyone else is at. So it's about meeting people where they're at and being patient with them and just talking with them and teaching them about, you know, the opportunities that are out there and to think bigger. Like I think just to think bigger, there's so much to accomplish and see in the world. And sometimes I think we get stuck in this tunnel vision. And my parents took us away and they, you know, we grew up all over the place and they opened us up, and I'm sure it wasn't easy to get put into uncomfortable situations. And I know it wasn't for me, you know, sometimes I had this like a Mexican American, and you know what they say, I think, I can't remember who said it, but it's like, you're the corner of two flags, where these two flags meet, you're the corner of that. So it was always weird navigating that process as a Mexican American, because I look one way and I'm also, you know, pushing to be a different area. Like I'm pushing to be educated in this way as well. So people struggle when they meet me because they can't put me in a box. And I like that. I like that. And I want other people to keep pushing that too.
I love that. That is what I personally stand for. Well, I'm so grateful to be able to showcase this conversation, no matter how many times it's messed up the stream. If you don't know, she's been so patient with me on here, because I know that somebody, I've been impacted hearing your story, how passionate you are. And not only just for yourself, it's for everyone else. The service, everything that you're doing is so powerful, and you're pushing a message of being self-aligned, but progressing through everything that you're doing and not giving up on yourself. You've been able to do so much. So I thank you for joining this podcast. I always ask my last question of the pod, overcoming your negative voice when it's you versus you and you're in the ring. How do you work to overcome your mind bully?
It can't exist if I want to do what I want to do, to be honest. Like, always going to be me overcoming that in my mind. Like those thoughts can't, I don't have room for them, and they're going to be there. They can sit there if they want, but I'm going to keep going and doing what I need to do.
Practically, how do you keep going? How do you fight that voice when it's loud? Sometimes you walk in, you're like, I'm Mexican American and I'm doing things that nobody else has done, or I haven't seen anybody else do. How do you beat that voice and walk in with confidence?
I show up for myself first. And I just do it. It's really through my work, I think. Like, that's really what it is. I said, I'll show you, but I don't have to speak it. I'm going to show you what I need to do. And I go do my job and I do the best that I can, to be honest, every day. I show up every day.
Well, thank you for joining the podcast. It has less than a minute on Zoom, so I'm going to close out, but we'll still be talking. Thank you for joining the MyBully podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the MindBully podcast. If you like anything that you heard in this episode, rate and review this podcast. It does so much to boost the platform up. So do that, please. And thank you. Till the next time.
Jenix, you're going off.